Hello, everyone. This is your co-host, Stu, and I'm here with the paranormalist, Patty Wilson. Patty, how are you today?
A bit frazzled, but okay. I've had one of those days where I've dropped and spilled about everything I've touched.
As long as there are paper towels and wet wipes, you're in a good situation.
I am, and I managed to get the podcast done, and that's really what I wanted to set out to do this afternoon.
Excellent. So if you are new to this podcast, welcome. We're very happy to have you here with us. If you are returning, again, pleased as punch to have you back. And if you look down in the description on the video platforms or even on the audio platforms in the information, you'll find everything Paranormalist podcast related. So I don't need to reiterate everything that's there. It's like going to a business presentation. Someone just reads what's on the PowerPoint slides. Well, I can do that. So why do that? And so anyway, it's down below, folks. And if you wish to look at that, great. We would appreciate you clicking the like button, even if you subscribe or not. The like button is pretty important to us. We would like to thank Lisa, who has supported our podcast by buying us several coffees. And we really appreciate that. And we thought we'd let you know that we do appreciate you.
Yes, we do. And we thank all of you guys who are faithfully listening. We do appreciate it. Thank you so much for supporting us, clicking that like button, subscribing. We know you're out there. We see your name, you know, all the time. And we're really, really grateful for everything you have done, coming out, you know, becoming our friends over the years. Say hi, you know, interact with us. We want to talk to you. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear what you want to know about so we can shape our podcast so that it's more interesting to you. Other than my son, who is Michael, he told me I have to tell him, say his name again. Michael, who tells me all the time, Mom, I think you need more, you know, vampire stories. I think you need to do a story on voodoo. I think you need this or that. You know, I'm not getting a lot of feedback from people. So if you tell me the things you're interested in, the types of stories or events, we'll try our best to get them for you.
With that, what's our topic for today?
Well, yard sale and thrift store haunted objects.
Oh, we've touched on that a little bit before, like the pink shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember which episode that was. So that was a nice story.
It's an interesting story. So, you know, spring is coming. All the yard sales are coming out. All the, what do they call them? The little boutiques and what have you that appear, the depots and the different things that we have a lot of places. I don't know how this is in other places, but we have several places in our area here where people can do consignments. And, you know, I'm talking about, so like you go into this great big building that used to be like a huge box store, and there's 40 cubicles with different stuff in them. And, you know, it's all used stuff from other places that people buy them out there, estate sales and auctions and, you know, basically junk like that. And you just go through it and find stuff you want.
Mrs. Stu and I were there last weekend. Yeah. And if I could take a short aside. So when we were in Germany, we collected mugs and glassware and all kinds of stuff. Just way too many things for now middle-aged people to keep laying around. So we essentially donated them, got rid of them. And it was funny because probably 2-3 months ago, we were walking around that particular business and we saw one of our mugs. And we knew that it was ours because if we turned it upside down and the label that we had put on it in a yard sale that didn't sell was still on the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, they're interesting places. I like to go to them. I bought tons and tons of like books and what have you. And I find them fascinating, the concepts behind them, the things that are, you know, that are there. There's a place in Martinsburg, Pennsylvania, that's literally an old barn run by a couple older Mennonite folks. And it's a barn and they turned it into an indoor yard sale. And you find the most eclectic things there, everything from swatches of material to antiques to, you know, just the most amazing, unusual items. And then, of course, in where you were at, they have everything under the sun in that building. That building's just chock full.
Yeah, and from then there's old to new. Yeah, that's
yeah. It's just crazy. And then there's another one in Bedford where they do more kitschy stuff. It's, you know, handmade stuff, goat milk soaps. And on the basement level, there's antiques and there's used stuff. But a lot of it is people's craft work and stuff on the first floor.
It's That's really on cool. South Juliana Street, right?
It is, yeah.
We're not and mentioning any names, but you can look it up now.
Yeah, it's they're really beautiful, cool places. And some of the stuff in that one, like if I have something to buy for somebody and it's, I don't know what to get them, that's the place I go because I promise you I'm going to find something unusual and special there. And I really like that particular one. I like the other ones I go to quite a lot as well, but that's my favorite. Anyway, and so I was looking into, you know, collecting up some of these stories that I've heard. And I came across something. We're going to talk about people who professionally collect the paranormal. There are people out there who professionally collect the paranormal. They go to these things looking for paranormal items. They call them metaphysical and paranormal collectors. And it's their hobby. They go and they handle a lot of things. And they're like, ooh, this one gives a real cool vibe. I wonder what it is. And they take it home and wait to see. So they're looking for objects that are haunted by deceased people. And if they can find the backstory, that's what makes the piece valuable. So like if you pick up, an umbrella stand, you go over and you touch this umbrella stand and it's got a creepy feel, that's okay. But if you can't go over to the guy and have him say, oh, yeah, that came from a lady who told me that it belonged to her father. And after he passed away, she put it in her house kind of as a memento. She didn't want it anymore because she said that it moves across the floor by itself. And she thinks it's her father because he's a prankster. Now you have a story to sell with it. And it's like a provenance. You can tell where it came from. And maybe he's lying to you. I don't know. Mm-hmm. How do you prove such things? But if they're smart, they have a good story. And then the people buy it because it's a good story. And the key to that is it has to be a non-malevolent story. Like you don't want to buy the this dueling knife or dueling pistol or whatever that has been found alongside the dead body of 27 people over the course of time for the last 120 years. That one you might want to pass up on. But if you're told that Alexander Hamilton, has been sighted standing there staring at the dueling pistol, and it might have been used when he and Aaron Burr had their infamous duel in which Hamilton was shot. Now you got a cool story, and it makes it interesting. So those are the kind of things. There are other items that people look for, particularly like occult items or items that have been impacted by the occult. For example, somebody might have an object that was cursed or that was used for, Anton LaVey was the guy who created the Church of Satan. His chalice to some people might be really special and they might want to buy it because it has a history to it and there's stories about it. Or, you know, things like that. Just like there's people that collect artifacts and artwork by serial killers. I don't understand it, but they do it. Cursed objects, things that were used in a cult, things that have paranormal activity attached to them. I've seen items that were sold and there's a picture of it sitting in a antique shop and a woman standing behind it who's, you know, transparent. And you're like, you know, I took this out of my antique shop because I didn't really want to have it there. It makes me unnerved, but I didn't want to just throw it away. So I brought it to this yard sale. And, you know, so those are the people who do it on purpose, but a lot of us don't do it on purpose. And you had referenced a story I had told before, which was about an item that was purchased by somebody I knew. And the item was, you know, just clothing, it's a shirt. Terrible things happened. Well, bad things happened to this person. And his personality changed and he just about had a nervous breakdown. It was a lot of negative stuff going on in his life after that shirt happened. And so that's one of the things you really do have to think about if you're going to go buying stuff that you know, deliberately know, or have been at least told are haunted or possessed or cursed, is that you may be bringing something into your home that you're not anticipating. A lot of people think it's cute, it's fun, it's catchy. It's a great story to tell when you have the Halloween party. But it's something that can, you know, change your life. I have a good friend who purchased a cannonball in West Virginia at an antique shop. And she took it home. She just thought it was really interesting. And her daughter, who was 12 at the time, began to have all these nightmares and terrible things like that. She would talk about a shadow figure that would come up the stairs from the living room and into her bedroom and then, like, just dissipate a great deal of fear, anger, frustration. And her daughter began to believe it had something to do with that cannonball. So she brought it up to my house and left it. We never had a problem the whole time it was there. She decides to take it back down and not tell her daughter it's there to see if it was psychosomatic. Like, the night she brings this thing back, she's got it tucked in the bottom of her bag. She takes it to the bedroom. She throws it on the floor in the corner in the bag and just goes to bed because it was a long drive. Now, that night, her daughter wakes up. She's got the nightmares. The whole nine yards is coming back. This happens for a couple nights in a row. She tells her daughter, she's like, take it back. Take it back to Patty's house. It doesn't like it down here. It doesn't like it in the Confederate territory. I know it. I know it. That's it. So they drag this ball back up to my house. It sits on my mantle for a year, year and a half. Nothing happens the whole time. I mean, there's nothing. It's completely inert. She takes it back down to show a friend. Bam. Daughter finds out, does it again and then finds out. She literally walked in the bedroom that night and said, you've got that cannonball back. He was in my room. And she ends up giving it, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the plan was, and I believe she executed it, to send it to John Zappas for his Possessed Possessions Museum.
The last time you mentioned his name, I took a look at, tried to look at it at the museum, and it was closed at that point. They were still looking for a permanent location.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a huge collection. It's like buying a, you're looking for a place that's large enough to house several rooms of these objects. And if something kind of creeps you out, don't buy it anyway. Just kind of go with your gut. Because you don't need to worry about it then.
Yeah, when it came to the place that the former big box store, I purposefully don't go through and touch things, even though I wouldn't consider myself a high level sensitive of any degree. But yeah, there are certain places like that when I see some older things that I kind of stay in the aisles. And just look at things. And if there was something I'm particularly interested in, but mostly I went over to the guy stuff, the construction stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, there's things to think about. Suppose you buy something and you don't think there's anything wrong with it. You're not courting this on purpose. Mm-hmm. And you go home and you put it up, like my friend with her cannonball. She didn't buy it because she thought it was haunted or anything like that. She just thought it was an interesting, cool piece. She was going to put it on display, try to find out a little more history on it, that kind of stuff. But if you start noticing things like objects moving in your home, like you put down something and it's somewhere else, or maybe the object itself moves around your home. There's a great story I know about that. We'll tell in just a minute. Apparitions or shadow people or sounds of footsteps, stuff like that. Nightmares, a lot of nightmares. Somebody in your family having them, just like my friend's daughter, who had nothing to do with the paranormal, wasn't interested in it at all. It wasn't like she was sitting there going, I wonder who that cannonball killed. But, she was a 12-year-old kid. She really didn't care. Bad luck things. We're going to talk about that in one of the stories. Illnesses, people that are sick, have colds all the time. You seem like you're sick in the stomach for all the time, but only since the thing item has been there. And there are stories of things like that. You want to kind of keep an eye on that kind of stuff. Get rid of it. Now, how do you get rid of it? Some people will say sage it. Sometimes sage works, but sometimes saging doesn't. clean it with salt, you know, that could be damaging depending on whether it's a historical fact, artifact. And sometimes, you know, it's not going to do any good at all. It just doesn't. I don't know why it works for some things and not for others, but it doesn't. So there are other things you could do. Like if you know where it goes, take it there. So I told the story, I think many episodes back about my friend Mark, who lives in Gettysburg. And there's these stories about taking rocks from the Devil's Den area, and people will steal a little rock. And I mean like a little rock, like just something small. And they'll take it home, and then like 6 months later, then the Park Service has the same thing happen. They'll get these rocks and a little letter, and it'll say something like, I should never have brought this from Gettysburg. I heard the stories. I didn't believe them, and I've had nothing but bad luck. Or on the way home, my car broke down, and then this happened. Or there's this man who keeps coming into my bedroom at night and trying to tell me something, but he can't make any sound. Please take the rock back. Please put it back where it was found. Please tell them I'm sorry. Please make it stop. You know, that kind of thing. Now, the next two, I'm not going to recommend. I'm going to tell you what they are because you're going to bump into them. And if you were like looking up this topic, one of them, bury them in a graveyard. And the only reason that that would possibly have an impact is because you're in consecrated ground. Remember we talked last week about the difference between cemeteries and graveyards. So graveyards, I don't think will be the appropriate spot. I think that with this person just uses it interchangeably. If you were going to do this thing, I would think it would have to be consecrated ground. So it would have to be a consecrated cemetery at where there's a church and that sort of thing. And I honestly don't know if that would work or not. I've never heard of anybody doing it successfully. So I can't tell you that. The third is to burn it, and I don't recommend that. Because burning some items doesn't make it go away. It sometimes makes it more active. So for example, and I know that there's stories of this, if you find a Ouija board at a local auction and you buy it, because it's one of those pieces, you know. Well, yeah, but people do this kind of stuff where they buy it at a yard sale. They find out their kids bought it at a yard sale because it was cool, you know. And you have whatever events happen around it. I know a story of a family who had that issue. Their 12-year-old son bought a Ouija board at a local yard sale without their knowledge. It was like $5 and took it home, jumped in his backpack. And him and his buddy were like messing with it in the basement of their house, which is where his bedroom was. It was a finished basement. So they had a living room down there and a couple bedrooms. And then all hell breaks loose in the house and they can't figure it out. And there's footsteps and thumping, and the youngest kids are like, when I say the youngest kids, I'm talking 2, 3, 4, 5. Like there's 6 kids in his house, and they're literally all fairly young, other than the oldest one who was, like I said, about 10 or 12 years old. And the mom, out of desperation, begins looking around for all the different things it could be, and eventually settles on this board underneath her son's bed. They are a Catholic family, so they decided to, you know, get rid of this thing. So they throw it in the trash. It comes back. They find it back in the bedroom. They think he took it out. So then they take it to the husband takes it to work, and he throws it away in the trash, and it comes back. So he decides he's going to take it out and put it in the fire pit and burn it. And he burns it, and he thinks he's burned it. And the next morning, it's laying on the washing machine in the laundry room area. And it's not even scorched. And at that point, the activity gets even crazier with doors slamming. The woman's mother and father come to stay with them because the kids are up every night having nightmares and things are just going insane. The little dog that lives in the house is like it's going to have a nervous breakdown. Like it's just yapping nonstop at something and barking. And they have cameras into the house, and like you can see orbs of light moving, and not like just dust motes falling, but like swaying and moving and going against air currents, and shadows of people walking and what have you. And it just seemed to make it so much worse. It took 2 years of working that case, that's a real case, to get it to stop. And I took the board out of the home at the time, and I disposed of it the way I had been taught to dispose of it by John Zaffis. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it. And it's not because I get paid to do it or anything like that, because, you know, I don't take any money for anything like that that I do. I just do it to help people. But the reason I don't tell you that is because if you do it wrong, it's, again, going to make it worse. So if you reach out to somebody who really knows their business, or send it to somebody like John Zaffis, who will take care of that issue for you. And there are objects from conversations I've had with John. There have been in his lifetime objects that were so possessed or haunted and so negative. He has gotten rid of them. And he gets rid of them a specific way that works. And, you know, they'll take care of that for you. That said, let's move on to some of the cool stories that are here for us to talk about. So one of the stories I wanted to talk about tonight was one that I just thought was really interesting. So this is the story of a lady who went to a local thrift shop, you know, I'm not sure which one it was, but one of the local thrift stores. We all have them in our hometowns. And, you know, you go in and you kind of peruse around and you look, and your kids scream that they want the 6-foot-tall gorilla sitting in the corner that is $37 that you have no freaking clue what you would possibly do with it. And it smells funny. But there's always, sometimes there's things, you know, that catch your attention. There's some pretty pictures and sometimes clothing and stuff. So this lady's in her local thrift store, and she sees this painting of a little girl being kissed on the cheek by a little boy. And on face value, it sounds pretty benign. But there's something about the little girl's eyes. Like, they look like they've got a blank stare, almost creepy, vacant eyes. The little boy's perfectly fine. Everything else about the picture looks normal. So she sees it in her shop, and when she goes in, she passes it by. She goes back in a couple weeks later. It's still there. She passes it by. And she goes in a few weeks after that. It's still there. And for some reason, she keeps getting drawn to this picture. And so this time she snaps a picture of it with her phone. And she had talked to her sister about it, and she had sent the picture and said, this is the picture I'm talking about. Doesn't the little girl have creepy eyes? And to her surprise, she gets a completely different answer than she anticipated. She's like, I didn't say anything. But her sister comes back and says, I recognize that picture. It was in the thrift shop in my hometown for a few weeks, you know, a few months back, and it disappeared for a little while. I thought it was sold, and it stood out to her sister too, so much so that she actually went and had a conversation with the clerks, and then it reappeared in the shop. And she said, I talked to them and said, you know, I'm surprised that's here. I thought it got sold. And they said, oh, it was, but the lady brought it back. And she said, I asked the lady, really, why did she bring it back? And she said something about hearing voices and giggles, and those eyes follow people. And he's like, whose eyes? The little girl's eyes follow people, like when you walk through the room. And she thought it was creepy. And she's like, it sounds insane, but we just gave her back the $5 and took the picture. So somehow it made it from one sister's hometown to the, you know, town to the next. And both of them keyed on it.
Interesting.
It is, because, I mean, to me, it was fascinating because, you know, I would have walked past it 100 times and probably not noticed it. But it was enough to start a conversation between the two women. And then when she actually saw the picture, the other sister's like, oh my gosh, I know that picture. I've seen it before. So this is another one. It's interesting. So this was a yard sale. And there, the Catholic Church used to have, I don't know if they still do. I just apologize. I don't know. They used to have a last rites kit that the priest would bring with him when he would come to read the last rites to somebody who was passing away. So this person is at a local yard sale, sees what is said to be a last rites kit. And it's open, you can look at it, and you know, it's got a morbid kind of curiosity about it. And the person was just struck by it, and the person says, this terrible feeling came out of it. I knew what it was. It wasn't that it was the death association that bothered her. It was that it carried this really, she calls it evil. There's no other word. That's her exact word, evil. Oh. She said, read that little part. She said, it wasn't the association with death that bothered me. It was like it carried the most evil vibe. It gave me the feeling that whoever owned it was a horrible person. I put it back on the table and left quickly. And then she says that a few days later, she was in the same area. This people were still having a yard sale. People now do them all summer. It's amazing to me because people don't usually do yard sales all summer. And she said, I felt absolutely frozen with fear. And as soon as I saw the object, and I left the store or left the yard sale and went back to my car, and I just could not imagine being that close to it ever again. So said she made sure not to go to that area and look at the cells or anything again, because she was afraid that whatever was there would follow her home. That's kind of a leap, I get it, but still.
I think if you have a feeling like that, trust it. Yeah.
Yeah, just get out. Yeah. So the next one is about a person whose husband had been at a thrift store and had found a little statue of a woman with falcon on her shoulder. It was, you know, about 2 feet high, which is fairly large, but I mean, comparatively. And he thought it was really interesting. He felt compelled to buy it, so he bought it and took it home. And like, you know how you come home and you got that yard sale find and you think it's like the coolest thing, and then your spouse goes, what the heck were you thinking? I'm not putting that ugly thing in my house. It was one of those situations. And his wife threw a fit, and he was like, fine, you can sit in the living room in the corner where I can see it, right? And so that's exactly what happened. The wife said she always felt like the thing was watching her, that its eyes would move as she would go through the room, and she hated it. So she tucked it like back in a corner by his chair, pulled his chair out in front of it, and didn't have to look at it. And she said, after a few weeks, she said, I was sleeping one night, and in my dreams, I dreamt that I was talking to this woman, and she was very terrifying. Something about her aspect and demeanor frightened this woman very badly. And she said, she kept saying to me, I hope you know he really likes me more. I hope you know he's mine. He's mine. And she said it was a terrifying dream. And she said, I woke up and I told him, and he laughed, and he was like, you know, that's hilarious. Ha ha ha. But this went on for quite a while. And she said, eventually he wouldn't get rid of this thing. He was completely compelled to hang on to it. And she said, I know it might sound crazy, but eventually our marriage broke up, and I always believed it was because of her. So, you know, it's kind of a crazy idea, but you know, there are objects that are cursed that'll, you know, try to take over somebody. And that's not beyond the shadow of happening as well. Our next one is again from somebody going past a toy section in a secondhand shop. And there are all these little dolls and stuffed toys and what have you, you know, that have kind of always reminded me of the Island of Misfit Toys, you know, because they're all a little tattered, a little broken, a little this and a little that, right? She said, I noticed when her boyfriend and her were visiting the shop, said she noticed whenever her boyfriend walked past the aisles of dolls, this one particular doll would fall out. He picked it up, and then he went around to look at the other side, you know, because it was a two-sided display. And another woman came over, and as she walked past the little doll, it fell out. Same doll. But he was just directly across from it on the other side. So the lady picked it up and put it back on the shelf, and she hurried away as though she, you know, she was done with it. As soon as she touched that doll, she was done. She was gone. And the woman said, I stood there and I was watching, and a third person walks by and stops at the display for a moment. The doll falls out. Her boyfriend's still on the backside looking at something. And She said the person picked it up, looked at it kind of strangely, put it back on and hurried off. And she said, I'm standing there over near the area where the recliners, the couches, that kind of stuff are, you know, they sell the secondhand furniture part, watching all of this. And she said, suddenly out of her periphery vision, she gets a motion. She turns and she looks, and sitting on a couch watching the doll is an older woman. She had blonde hair, and she's like, I didn't know what to make of her. And somebody else walks by and the doll falls out, and again, pick it up, put it back on and scurry off, right? She said, my boyfriend, I called him. I said, hey, could you come over here? And she said, as he walked past that display, that he had to pass it to come to her where she was standing. The doll fell out. He paused and he said, that stupid doll won't stay where it's put. And she looked at the woman and she could see the woman laughing. And she said, that's because of the woman on the couch. And he said, there's nobody on the couch. And she's like, yes, there is. I can see her. And he's like, what have you been taking? Because like, there's nobody on the couch. And the woman just looked at her and smiled and laughed. She said, I couldn't tell if it was evil or if it was just having fun with me, but I knew whatever it was, I didn't want to be around it anymore. So I just told him I was done and I wanted to get out. So, you know, I just, you know, we never know what's going on. Did the doll belong to that woman? Was she just somebody that was there with something else and was using the doll as bait, if you will? And, you know, she was having a little bit of fun. I don't know. I just know that it's an interesting story because multiple times that doll fell. And she noticed the uncomfortable expression most of the people had when they picked it up and put it back. So our next story is about an old painting of a boy. He is a farm boy. He's about 10, 12 years old. And he's got like a, you know, just a pastoral scenery, an old barn, a goose, you know, a little pond, all that stuff. And he's looking out of the picture at the viewer, as though he's staring directly out at you, which is, you know, kind of sets you up to be unnerved. But the interesting part about that, go ahead.
Nope.
So the interesting part about it is that this was found in an antique store. The woman that came in was looking around. She saw this hutch that she really liked, and she asked the woman to pull the hutch out from the wall. Could we pull the hutch out from the wall? I want to see the condition of it in the back. I want to make sure there's no damage before I buy it. And the woman and her kind of nudged the thing out, and that's when they saw the picture. And the lady that owned the antique shop said, oh, I didn't even know that picture was back there. And which sounded odd because one should know your own inventory. And she said, I thought that was a little weird. And she said, but something about the picture sort of spoke to her, so she bought the hutch and the picture and took it home. She said that since then, the hutch has been very quiet, but she said I had hung the picture above her couch, and she said, I know that his facial expression changes every once in a while. I thought it was just me and my imagination until I had some family over for a holiday meal, and I noticed three different people that were staring at the picture. When I asked them if they really liked it, told them the story of finding it behind that hutch that was also in the living room. They said you should have left it there, but wouldn't go any further. And she said, eventually I did worm out of one of them that it felt like the figure's face would change expression. And then you'd look back after you're like, did that actually move? And then you'd look back a second time and it would be back to where it belonged. So, these are things you're gonna find in, like I said, there's thrift stores, hardware stores, or yard sales, antique shops. Now, this next one I thought was really interesting because it adds the element of a mirror. Mirrors have a great history of being haunted. We've actually done a couple episodes on haunted mirrors over the years. So this one was found at an antique store as well, and it was an old wood carved framed mirror, and the glass was thick and, you know, how beveled, and like you'd see little specks in it. And a lot of these old mirrors had what's called a foil paper behind them, which is what caused them to be reflective. And over the years, it shrinks, it cracks, you know, it dries out, and it gives a kind of a crackly look to the mirror. And so this person found one behind a bar in Tombstone, Arizona, when they were, you know, it was a display. It was behind the bar trying to say, you know, this would have been an old bar mirror or something. And they were fascinated with it. It was a really interesting antique. So they decided to buy it and take it home and incorporate it in their own decor. They said that they took it and they said that they believe that, this is interesting because they don't believe the mirror itself is haunted. They believe it brought energy into the house that created a lot of haunting. When they bought their home, they were told that it was haunted by somebody. And once the mirror came, all of a sudden the activity began. And for some reason, they believe it's that it gave energy to the spirit to make it more active, like it's channeling through that mirror somehow, pulling energy from the mirror. So they got, I've had psychics come into the home on different occasions and they have asked me to get rid of the mirror immediately. There's others who say that it's dangerous. Some who just say that it's, that I need to get rid of it and throw it away. I don't want bad karma. It's too beautiful. It's an antique. I won't get rid of it that way. She said, there's been so many things that have happened. I've seen a man walk across my living room floor. We've seen doors open and close, drawers open and close, heard footsteps with nobody attached to them. Items move around the house. You can lay like your keys or a cup of coffee or whatever down and then reach for it 2 minutes later and it's no longer sitting on your desk. It's in the kitchen on the stove or something like that. So she talks about it and she said, currently I'm trying to sell it to somebody who will also know that there's a story behind this mirror. I don't know all the answers, but I'm trying to figure out a way to get rid of it without it going into the trash. And so she's asking if anybody knows any way to help protect the mirror, keep the mirror from causing activity in somebody else's home, because she doesn't want to feel guilty about, you know, somebody else having activity and maybe it'll get worse. And she's
had. I was going to say that story just prompted a thought to me. Do you know if anyone has created or used a cursed or haunted mirror in a psychomantium?
It's an interesting question. For those who don't know, a psychomantium is a chamber that is built with a mirror in front of you and a mirror behind you. And it's a completely darkened space. And you're supposed to be focused on the mirror in front of you, which will reflect what's coming up behind you, which I always thought was a creepy concept. I don't honestly know the answer to that, but that's a great question.
If anyone knows of anybody who may have done something like that, not that I wish to research it myself, but it would be very interesting to know, I mean, what the results were.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Because you just have to assume the mirrors are good and clean when you do that for a psychomantium. Mm-hmm. And I don't even recommend doing a psychomantium unless you have somebody who's a practitioner who knows what they're doing. You know. We'll go on to another one. So this was a person who in their 20s, which would have been about 20 years ago, they were at a thrift shop and they found this god awful fur coat that they wore in the 60s. You know, those big bushy ones that were so long and puffed out and what have you. And he said that for some reason, it just looked so cool to her. And she called it Goodfellow-esque, like, you know, big poofy, you know, I don't know why it really reminded her of the Goodfellow, but anyhow, that's what she thought of. And she said, I brought it home to my apartment. I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever bought. And I ran away wearing it whenever I got a chance. I can only imagine what her family and friends thought. And she said, but all of a sudden I began to feel like I was having bad luck. I was always having bad luck. It just seemed like everything had changed in my life after that. I would find myself dressing up in my room and putting the coat on and standing in front of the mirror and modeling it incessantly. And I don't know why. She said, eventually I made myself put it in the closet and leave it alone because it just made me feel bad inside. But I also felt compelled to do it. And eventually, so she sticks it in the closet. She can't quite make herself part with it. For a long time, she left it alone. And when she moved, she threw it in the dumpster. She said, I still think about this coat. I don't know what it was, but there was an attachment to it. I have always been a person who saw things easily. And I'm wondering if something there was trying to get my attention or worse yet, trying to get inside of me and live again. All I know is I don't want anything to ever do with whatever was attached to that damn fur coat. And, you know, that was sort of along the same lines as the story that I had told, because, you know, that's exactly what it was. It was like the person's personality completely changed. She ended up on mental health, drugs, and all kinds of craziness, and that didn't even help in the long run. So we got a couple more stories, and then we're going to be done. This one is interesting because this is one of those boutiques that have those rooms with all the different stuff from all the different people. And this person said that one of the other vendors at this facility had bought the estate of an old woman, and that they had brought all this stuff in, and they were setting up their section with all these items from this old woman's estate sale. And she said, I just thought it was crazy. We didn't like it. And so over the course of time, other vendors in the beginning started noticing things. You know, you go in a couple hours early, you want to get set up, you want to like move your things around. Maybe there's some stuff you want to shift real quick so you can sell it. Maybe you're going to change the price, pull it forward because nobody's looking at it, that kind of stuff. So these other vendors are working on their displays.
Right.
And the one couple in particular was there real early. They were working on a display. It was not too far before the holiday. And whoever had bought that lady's estate had bought all her Christmas decorations, all this other stuff. So they had put like a table of Christmas decorations up in little silver trays with the decorations on and like the little Christmas balls and stuff so that they won't roll off. And it said that they were in there working. Her, it was a husband and wife team, and they were doing their display when all of a sudden they heard ping, 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 and turned around looking to see because they thought they were the only people in there. And they saw the display, one of the silver trays lifted up off the table, and the Christmas balls were going off like somebody was throwing them one at a time. And as they were looking at the balls, the whole thing rose up completely into the air, floated at least 2 feet above this table, and then all the balls just kind of burst off at the same time, but in different directions. And the tray fell back down and clattered onto the table. And that was enough. They were like, that's crazy. So the woman said, I just got the feeling like this woman, whoever that she was that passed away, was really angry that people were, pilfering her stuff, moving it around. It was being handled by strangers and probably very disrespectfully. You know, people pick them up and go, look, sweetie, go buy that ugly thing, you know, kind of stuff. So, and then she said over the course of time, other vendors had experiences too. There was another vendor who was in there late one night getting a bunch of stuff offloaded for the next day. Saw an old woman, and she was angrily shaking her fist at him and yelling. He couldn't hear anything, but you could see her mouth going as though she were trying to say something. Other people had experiences that were also vendors. And then it got to the point where the people coming through to buy began to have experiences. People would reach out to touch something, like to pick up a cup or an old brooch or something, and it would slither away. Some people would be very calm and just quietly walk away. Other people would gasp. Some people would say, what the hell's going on? You know, that kind of stuff. But they definitely noticed that people were having these experiences. And eventually some of the vendors went over and talked to this person and explained what was going on. And they were like, I had no idea this has been going on all this time. And pulled the stuff and then put it up at an auction to be sold off, so it wasn't in there for the other vendors to have to contend with anymore. And it's interesting because like they weren't aware of all of this. They didn't know the whole story, but they began to ask questions about this because of what they were seeing. So I have two more stories. This one story is really interesting. It is a story about a woman whose adult son at some yard sale found a statue of, and it reminded me of Singing in the Rain, of a man dancing with a yellow raincoat and a yellow rain hat. And it looks like he's singing in the rain, you know, and his little sculpture. That's what it looks like. And said that, her son never buys that kind of stuff. He's not that guy that goes to yard sales and flea markets and stuff like that. But he, for some reason, thought it would be a great present for his mom and dad. So he bought it and he took it and gave it to them. And she said, for the next year, we had problems with water in our house. At first, she said, a pipe began to burst in our floor and our house got flooded. Then we had the construction people come in, they fixed it. Then they put in a new floor. Then a water line to the ice maker broke and they had to have that fixed. Then the ceiling, the roof leaked and the ceiling on the second floor began to get ruined. They had to have the roof, the ceiling patched, the roof patched, the ceiling fixed. And then the roof leaked in a different spot. And then it started leaking all over the roof and they ended up having to buy a whole new roof. They put the new roof in and for a couple months it seemed okay. And then it began to leak. The company came in, they redid the roof. They were like, we can't explain this, but we will definitely make our work good. And they would fix things and then immediately someplace new would spring a leak. Meanwhile, in the basement, pipes were bursting on their own and nobody could figure out what was going on. Their walls, their ceilings, everything was just, it was thousands and tens and tens of thousands of dollars, you know, that was being spent. She said, as this was all going on, she said, I began to have these dreams. And in the dreams, I would be praying. She said, as I literally would be sitting in my kitchen in the morning saying, dear God, I don't know what we've ever done to deserve this. Please help me. And she said, I would see myself in the dream praying. And I would look over in the dream and I would see the statue on the shelf and the statue got down and came alive in her dream and was running around the house pointing at things. And whenever it did, water would burst out of the thing or off the wall and suddenly began to flood the house. She said, it gave me the creeps in this dream and I had this dream repeatedly over a couple of months. And she said, it got to the point where I was afraid to go to sleep at night. I finally told my husband, I'm done. We're getting rid of that statue. And he was like, that's ridiculous. You can't blame this on a statue. We've just had a run of bad luck. And she said, well, whatever you want to call it, I'm getting rid of this statue. It's gone. She said, she took it out. She got rid of it. And she said, they fixed our roof. And we ever since then, we've had no problems. I honestly believe this thing was cursed and whatever it was like a water spirit and it was just destroying our home and our lives.
Wow. They weren't singing in the rain.
No, they weren't, but it was having a good time making things happen. And someplace else in our future, we'll talk about different types of spirits, like water spirits are fascinating stories, but that it could climb inside the statue and wreak havoc is interesting. Now I want to tell a story. Excuse me, our final story of our session, and it is about a black cast iron crib. So in the turn of the 20th century, they made these little cribs for babies, and they were made out of cast iron. Some were painted white, some were painted black. Those are primarily the two colors you would find them. So this is a crib that came out of was found at a secondhand shop. Excuse me, not secondhand shop, I apologize. They were found at a yard sale in Maryland by the husband of the woman who's telling the story. So basically, she found out she's pregnant. They needed a crib. She wanted it. She loved antiques. So he went to a friend's yard sale and found this crib and bought it and took it home. They refurbished it, painted it white, and went about setting up a baby room. She said she thought it was a really beautiful crib. It was so pretty, you know, this antique white paint and so fresh. And she just thought it was the most amazing thing. Baby comes and she puts the baby in the crib. And she said, from the moment the baby laid in the crib for the first time, my life was just not the same. I would have horrible nightmares at night that there was this smoky mass of black mass above my baby. And I would feel like it was going to suffocate my baby. I would wake up startled in sweats, have to calm my heart rate, and then I'd have to go down the hall and check on the baby. But she was so afraid of whatever it was and so convinced in her heart that it was real that she said, I would go down the hall with my eyes half shut, so as if I didn't have to see it. I would reach around the door frame and turn on the light and then peek into the room. And you know, it was just horrifying. And she said there was never anything there. Baby was breathing fine. Everything was okay. I would tell myself I was being an idiot and I would go back to bed. Or my husband would come in and say, stop this, just go back to bed. Over time, she told him about the nightmares and they continued on. After a month or so of this, she decided that she didn't want the crib that much. She was completely convinced that there was something attached to that crib that was heavy and negative and that it was going to smother her baby. It sounded crazy. It sounded really crazy to her husband who had put all that work into that crib. But eventually, she said she wanted it out of there. They bought a brand new crib. They put it in. The nightmares stopped. Crib sat in the corner of the garage for a while. Eventually, she went and talked to the friend who had the yard sale where they bought the crib. And he's like, oh, I got this from a lady where I work. And she's like, I don't know a whole lot about it, except that, you know, she has a real tragic story. And he's like, and she said, what do you mean she has a tragic story? And he said, well, she was living in an old house trailer, you know, like the old ones from the 60s and 70s. It had been remodeled, but it was still an old. And for anybody who doesn't know, the house trailers of the 60s and 70s were literally tinder boxes. They had cheap
with aluminum wire and
They were horrible and they were notorious for catching fire. So basically what happened to this woman was she went to the neighbor's house for a moment while the baby was asleep in the house trailer for whatever the reason, I don't know. And the house caught fire and they went up in minutes, these house trailers. She comes back over, the house trailer's on fire. She can't get into the baby's room. She screams, she calls for the fire department. The neighbors come running. They can't get in there. The fire's too hot. The firemen get in there real quick. They get the baby in the crib out through a window. They just basically knock the wall out and pull it out. And the baby looks perfectly fine, except he's died of smoke inhalation.
Oh.
The crib had laid in a relative's garage for a long, long time. She couldn't get rid of it. Finally decided to get rid of it. He said to her, if you really want to get rid of it, I'm going to have a yard sale. I can put it in the yard sale and you don't have to worry about it anymore. So she gave the crib to the guy and he put it in the yard sale. That's how she came by, getting it. And she said, all I could think of is I'm totally convinced that the crib was haunted, but not by something awful. I think it was that child who died in the crib warning me there was something wrong. About 6 months later, I found out my child had breathing problems and would stop breathing in the middle of the night. And she said, I think it was this child warning me that death was above my child and I needed to do something, but I didn't know how to interpret it.
Yeah, because if you see something strange like that, you're thinking negative, not a positive. So
I was really interested like in that component of it. Like she was completely convinced that it was the child haunting the crib trying to help versus the negative, which is, you know, you're hearing the smoke and what have you, thinking, okay, this child, something smothered that child, you know, burned that child up and now it's going to take other lives. But she was completely convinced that this was trying to help the help her keep her child alive rather than to let them pass away. So it had a much happier ending than I anticipated. And with that, my stories are done for this evening.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I will bid you good night.
Good night.